Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
In the Ty Boyd studio and joined once again by Beth Troutman this morning.
So excited to be back in here with you. We're already having fun.
Yeah, we do. We do two shows when you're here. We do the show off the air and the show on the air.
You know, we need to have the off the air show somewhere so that people can hear these conversations.
Well, that's why they invented podcasts, right?
Right.
That's what we have
right.
to do. I think we're onto something.
I think we're onto something.
So when you come in here, we text the weekend, the days before, whatever, what we want to talk about, what you see, what I see.
Yeah.
And so we'll get to some of what each of us saw this hour. I want to start off with something because I was watching, I don't see a whole lot of, obviously I don't see really any morning television except, I see the screen, but I don't
right.
hear the sound.
Because you're here.
Because I'm doing this. But on Sunday mornings, my wife, a lot of times I'll watch the Sunday Today Show and Willie Geist is the host there.
Yeah, I love that.
And he was talking to Dwayne Johnson. Or
The Rock.
Yeah, I grew up watching pro wrestling, so The Rock, right? I mean, whoever thought The Rock would become what he's become, but he is, I think I don't even think it's arguable anymore. I think he is the most bankable Hollywood male star.
Yeah. I mean, his movie game is strong. We were talking about this off the air. His Twitter game is strong, which keeps him uber popular because he responds to people and interacts with people constantly.
He responded to you one time.
He did. I actually tweeted him after I saw the movie Moana, which he plays, you know, the voice of one of the characters.
Right.
And he sings this song. It's called You're Welcome. And he's so good. And so I tweeted him about it. And the guy wrote me back. It was like, and now I'm the same way as everybody else. I became a huge fan after that.
I was explaining to somebody in my family the other day about how Twitter works. Meaning, I mean, and they know how to tweet. But I said, if you tweet a celebrity or anybody out there, I don't care if they have 8 million followers. If they're looking at their Twitter account at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And they happen to see your, now it's like a needle in a haystack of the chances of it happening, but it's possible.
Right.
And then when you're Beth Troutman, then The Rock immediately tweets you back. But to your point, in the political world we live in now, and not just politics, but any kind of fame that you may have,
mm-hmm.
if you are attentive to your social media accounts, and look, President Trump. A large part of President Trump's popularity was the fact that he was able to tap into those supporters directly without the filter of the media.
Right.
And obviously he's not on Twitter right now, but he's talking about actually launching his own social media platform. But the rise of President Trump, that story cannot be told without the importance of social media.
That's so true. And now we're talking about the rise of potentially someone like The Rock throwing his hat in the ring. He has political ambitions. And we said this, and I don't know, a lot of you out there might know this. The Rock has a show right now that basically the premise of it is that future Rock or present day The Rock is running for president, and the whole show is him telling his life story. Is that a coincidence? I don't think so. I think this was all calculated. I think this was all part of what his plan was.
All sounds very convenient.
Right.
Has a show on NBC. President Trump had a show on NBC.
On NBC.
You see this?
And Willie Geist was interviewing him as he was talking about, you know, do the people want me? If they want me, I'm coming in. I'm throwing my hat in the ring.
Well, here's the clip that I saw yesterday, okay?
But a very different shift and click moment may lie ahead for Johnson.
Dwayne Johnson has wasted no time hitting the campaign trail.
As his broad appeal has led to speculation about a future in presidential politics.
But our guiding light will always be our shared values and love of country.
There's a part of Young Rock, as if you're running for president in 2032. A lot of people are reading a lot of things into that.
Well, let me take another drink of Terramana before I answer that one. It always helps with the answer. I have a goal and an interest and an ambition to unite our country. If this is what the people want, then I will do that. And this goes back to me wrestling in flea markets and used car dealerships. And even in that, as small and as intimate and as rowdy as those crowds were, Willie, I still had my finger on the pulse of the people, and I always got an idea of what they wanted in that moment. So I say that to say, like, if the time comes where there is a good amount of people who want to see that happen, then I'm going to consider it.
How will you know if the people are asking you to take that step?
I think you would do deep dives of polling and things like that. What the people want will lead and inform that decision. And if it is, in fact, what they want, then I'm going to take another drink of my Terramana and I'm going to say, okay, let's do it.
He's already a politician because he kind of dodged the question but answered it beautifully, right?
But also sounded like he had thought this whole thing out,
yeah.
This question. I mean, this is a guy who, if you watch pro wrestling, wrestling is built on moves, but it's also built on people who can work the mic, like Ric Flair. That Ric Flair is not the most muscle-bound guy you've ever seen, but Ric Flair is a legend. And, of course, people from these parts grew up on Ric Flair, too. But he knew how to, as they say in the biz, cut the promo. He knew how to work the microphone. And The Rock, I think, is arguably the best ever to do that. That's why he's parlayed it into a movie career. Mm-hmm. But if you hear him right there, they used to call him the People's Champion when he was a wrestler. And there he goes. He's doing the promo right there. Hearing that, I got to be honest with you, I'll be surprised if he doesn't run at some point. I guess the question is he a viable candidate? What do you think he... I mean, we've talked about Matthew McConaughey. We now know that he's apparently going to launch a governor's bid in Texas. Now you have, Caitlyn Jenner in California. We've seen what President Trump was able to ultimately do. And Ronald Reagan, once upon a time, was an actor turned politician, eventually a president. So, you know, why not The Rock?
Why not The Rock? I mean, we'll hear a lot about it. And even if he throws his hat in the ring and doesn't get past a primary,
his hat in the ring.
At least he gets maybe some people interested in politics who aren't paying attention. Maybe that could be that. Let's look for the silver lining no matter what.
I actually think you could make the argument that the first debate last year was an actual wrestling match between
that's very true.
Trump and Biden.
He's such a nice guy, though. I can't imagine him going into a debate with that kind of attitude. You just don't see The Rock doing it.
So you haven't watched a whole lot of his old wrestling tapes.
His pro wrestling. I have seen the pictures, though, of the gold chain and the fanny pack. You know,
if you smell what The Rock is cooking. 9:13 on WBT. Now, here's the thing. Do you remember which company it was for?
Do you know what? I don't. I remember the herding cats, but I don't remember the company.
EDS, an HP company.
Oh, well.
I don't even remember. Every time I play that, I have to go back on Google.
To see what the name of the company was.
And ask Jeeves what company that was from. My favorite commercial of all time, I think, maybe the Bud Bowl when I was a kid. I used to thought that was fun, too.
Yeah.
But I think to myself, it's my favorite commercial, but the fact that I can't say who it was for is really
how effective was it?
It's not a good thing. Now, that's not the reason I'm playing that commercial.
Right.
So you brought this to my attention.
and it
involves cats, so you'll see where we are.
Cats. I have been giggling about this story. My little brother, again, who's your biggest man fan.
By the way, that's the voice of Beth Troutman right there here on... The Bo Thompson Morning Show, kind enough to join us again today. So good to see you.
So happy to be here. And this story, it's had us both giggling this morning. If you are a cat owner, which so many people are, if you're a pet owner, this has actually been a question that people have had for years and years. It's been an internet meme for a while. How many surfaces, if you have a cat, how many surfaces does your cat's booty touch over the course of a day? It's been a question. No one had the answer, but now a sixth grader in Tennessee has attempted to solve this for us and answer the question. And he did it in the form of a science fair project. I can't get enough of this. This sixth grade boy, Caden Griffin. So what he decided to do, he has cats. He had two cats, a long hair cat, a short hair cat. He decided to put non-toxic lipstick on his pet cat's bums.
Posterior, fill in the blank.
And then see how many lipstick stamps ended up on the different surfaces around his home.
This is like when you go in a hotel room and they show you those specials where you can see this the
black light.
Neon black light. Yeah.
This is... Except it's lipstick and cat tush. And his mom thought it was so hilarious and so brilliant that she posted it on Facebook. And, of course, it went viral because people thought, wow, this is a genius kid. So we're talking about how many cat bums surfaces touch, which it turns out not as many as people might think. And it does depend on hair. Hair apparently has an impact.
So. I'm looking at and boy, does this bring back memories of elementary school, the trifold.
Yep.
project cardboard thing, whatever that is. And I'm looking at the title, the kid standing behind it, and the title, I don't know. I've been doing radio all my life. Can I say this word? I don't think I can.
I was wondering the same thing, because that's why I've been playing around it.
I'm not going to say it. Does your cat's blank hole really touch all the surfaces in your house? That's the project title.
Look at the kid, his huge smile. It's great.
Yeah, and the kid won. He won first place or something like that.
Yeah. Because it's so brilliant and so simple. And they did say that it only took about 10 minutes of lipstick, and then they gently wiped it with, you know, makeup removers.
And by the way, the word you think that I'm bleeping out there is not that word. It's not the A word, the B word.
It's the B
but
word.
Still, I'm not going to put them together with the second word. Just not going to do it. Sorry.
He's such a classy guy.
At least so far this hour. But you and I laugh because I always say we bring up any subject and has Beth done it? Yes, she's done that. It's on her resume. And I said, have you ever won a science fair? And you said, yes.
Yes, I have.
Did you win regionals?
Yes.
You actually won states.
Well, I went to state.
I went to state
in seventh grade. And so we started talking about this because has Bo Thompson done it? Yes, you have.
Actually, I have. I thought I was going to be all high and mighty and have something on my resume that you didn't. But so when I was in fourth grade, it's much different than what does a cat touch during the day.
Right.
I did a project with my buddy Brian Parati. We did a dual joint project, and it's not really that exciting. It's, you know, how much mold grows on a piece of bread in different environments. And, you know, I put the bread in, like, on the radiator in my old house. And then I put one, you know, out on the front porch when it was really cold, and then just recorded all the
bread mold.
And we won. We won the school, and then I remember we went to UNCC.
Yeah.
And I remember
that was the big one.
Well, yeah, I walked into that auditorium and I thought it was I thought it was like Radio City Music Hall. And we won, I think, third or fourth place in that category that year.
So I think I beat you. I think I beat you that
well,
year.
Well, we're just saying, you might have been there. I had no idea that this person, you know, that blonde-haired girl that just walked up on the stage, she beat you. And all these years later, we don't know this, but we're just speculating.
Yeah, we're speculating.
Because we both grew up here.
Yeah, and we're the only local people who are on the air who both grew up here. I was a Concord High School graduate. I think when I went to the state science fair, my project was on, and this is so dorky, it was on velocity and the impact of magnets on metal balls going different speeds.
You're right. It was very dorky.
It was very dorky. But hey, took me to state. Beat you.
Yeah, she beat Bo over here, who's looking at pieces of bread with mold on them. 927 on WBT. When we come back, we'll check in with Gary Soba out at the Quail Hollow Club for the Wells Fargo Championship. Day number one. They're not, you know, playing golf yet in tournament fashion, but today there's a pro-am, and also getting an idea of what the course is looking like and what you can do there this year based on the COVID-19. The legendary George Norrie, the host of Coast to Coast AM all across the country, the most listened to overnight show on the radio. And this, the guy who, if you don't know, succeeded Art Bell about 15 years ago, the late Art Bell, and has been a staple here and so many other radio stations across the country. But honestly, I didn't think that he'd agree to do this.
I'm so excited for you. I love that guy.
We reached out to him, and I'll talk to him about this tomorrow, but actually, to his credit, maybe I should have anticipated that he would do this, because there have been a couple of times over the years where I was doing projects. It was a Christmas show 15 years ago, 20 years ago even, and I was trying to get not only our local host, but our national host to participate, and I sent stuff to Rush Limbaugh and Neil Bortz at the time, who was on our station, and some other people. And I mean, it was impossible to get Rush to do things just because of the sheer number of people who were asking him to do that. So I get it. I wasn't expecting that to happen, but I wasn't expecting George Norrie to email me back in 5 minutes. And he did, and helped me out back then. And then so tomorrow he's agreed to join me for an hour. So that's what we'll be doing on Tuesday. Later this week, in fact, Thursday, I'll be live from the Wells Fargo Championship. The tradition returns. Jim Zocchi out there with me, and Brett Jensen. And part of that tradition is a guy I want to bring on the line right now, Bo Thompson, Beth Troutman here, and say good morning to the tournament director for the Wells Fargo Championship. Gary Soba is with us. Gary, welcome back.
Good morning. It is great to be back.
It had become such a tradition to talk to you leading up to this week, and it's one of my favorite Charlotte traditions. And then obviously with so many things last year, things came to a screeching halt. So what's it like just to be back? And I guess you have a whole new appreciation for a lot of the little things, right?
I think we do, and I think the community does. We're really fired up. There seems to be unbelievable energy tied to the tournament. When we put tickets on sale, it was amazing how quickly they went. And, you know, I think it's going to be, you know, kind of a near-normal tournament, maybe smaller crowds. But I think from a safety and security standpoint, we put in a lot of provisions that everyone coming out, all the patrons coming out, can feel very, very, very good about it. You know, most will Uber. We certainly have buses as well, but... Well, the field is loaded. We have 10 of the top 15 players in the world coming to Charlotte. In fact, if rain allows, we will have a first Pro-Am today. And it's interesting, the guy who coordinates that said our Monday Pro-Am is the equivalent of a lot of Wednesday Pro-Ams in terms of the caliber of players. So you got to feel good about that.
Well, and you can take that theme and apply it to just about every other day of the week, because what are the players always say that the Wells Fargo Championship is such a popular stop on tour, because when they come here, they almost feel like it's a major. The treatment that they get and the quality of play and the field, it has made this tournament just a must stop for so many of these players. When they have to sit back and plot out their year and decide where they're going to go, this is a popular spot.
Well, you're right. The last time it was played here in 2019, we won the Players' Choice Award. They vote on one tournament that is their favorite tournament, and we're certainly very pleased and proud to have been selected by the players. So they love coming to Charlotte, they love Quail Hollow, and they love Wells Fargo Championship. So, you know, part of what Mr. Harris has done, you know, just the Southern hospitality, that the way they are treated, the way their wives are treated, the way their caddies are treated, it's all part of the equation.
And a big part of the equation, what you all have done, and it's one of my favorite events, just like Bo, going to this this event. You've made golf so approachable for the people of Charlotte. People love coming to this event, even if they're not avid golfers. One of my favorite things about coming to the event, and I want to know how it's going to go down this year, is the food that you all have available for spectators.
Oh, the cuisine's off the charts. So there's something for everyone. And I have to put a plug, children 15 and under admitted free. And Sunday's Mother's Day, and we've got a nice pendant for mothers. But you know, children coming out, food's fantastic. Again, I say there's something for everyone, because there truly is. And whether you're in the hospitality areas or whether you're just coming out with general concessions, just a wonderful place to be. I call it therapy. Just therapy walking around this great golf course.
So, Gary, I think a lot of people are probably in this category listening who come to the tournament every year, and they're wondering in the post-COVID, is not an appropriate word yet, but coming out of COVID-19, we have some restrictions still in place, and the tournament has had to abide by those. If you know the tournament as it's been all the other years, what do you expect as someone coming out to Quail Hollow this week? What should they anticipate, if any, changes in what they're used to because of this pandemic that is still going on?
Well, health and safety is first and foremost. I always want to repeat that. Until last Friday, you know, we're gonna say, and we have a lot of signage, masks are required. But when their governor came out last Friday, obviously, you know, we can't mandate that. We hope when they are in groups, they wear masks. Certainly as they eat and drink, they're not required to. And late in the day, my gut feel is there'll be fewer on than earlier in the day. But we went to mobile ticketing. We went to cashless payments with concessions. We are less than full capacity on buses to provide social distancing. So they will be reminded of that. But I would think for the most part, I think they're going to see it's a near-normal tournament.
And so you have fewer tickets to sell because of the lower capacity, but are there still tickets available?
Saturday is sold out. There is a secondary ticket market. There's just a few left for Friday, and there's a few more for Thursday and Sunday. So we're close to being sold out, you know. And let me add Wednesday. Wednesday is going to be a fantastic day. We're honoring Coach Williams, Roy Williams, who's retiring in the morning. And then we got Christian McCaffrey, the Panthers, playing in the afternoon at 2:20. So, you know, Wednesday is such a fun day because you see all the pros, you see a lot of amateurs. And then Thursday, Friday, and Sunday, there are tickets available.
What are you looking forward to the most? What is your favorite part?
That's a really good question. I love seeing the joy and energy of the fans.
Yes.
I love when patrons come out here. And, you know, it, again, I say it's therapy, because just driving around and going around this beautiful golf course, it's such a fun place to be. Everyone, the smiles are galore, and I think everyone just has a wonderful experience. You know, it's low pressure. It's interesting. Our corporate clients have told us this is their favorite event because they're with their clients for 8 hours a day, and it's not a hard sell. They develop relationships, and I think that's one of the things that we really value is the Southern hospitality and developing relationships. And I, as I look out my window, it's pouring, so I hope this thing stops pouring because we have a pro-am starting in about an hour and a half.
Well, we're going to get a little bit of this today, but it's not going to be all day. And as I look at the forecast for the week, maybe other chances early in the week, but the good news is I think for the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, this is really shaping up nicely.
No, that's great to hear. I know it'll change 50 times between now and then, but we certainly have our fingers crossed. And we're excited about hosting you all.
Well, yeah, and we're going to be out there on Thursday. Like I said, the tradition that we've established over the last several years. So what I like to do, and we're going to do, I'm going to talk to you every day this week because each day is unique. We obviously have the tournament days, but for example, today on Monday, you mentioned the Pro-Am. What else about today should people know, Gary?
Today, that's really it. We will play starting at 1 o'clock. From 11 o'clock, 11 to 1:10. There's pro-am, so that will end. You know, 6:30. A number of the world's class players will come out and practice this afternoon, so they can come out and watch the range today. Tomorrow is the day that all the greats will come out and play. Tuesday is the practice day. They'll hit balls all day and they'll play. We will have another a draft, a party tomorrow night where people select their players for the Wednesday Pro-Am, and the Wednesday Pro-Am will have 52 teams with all the greats in the field, and that will be all day long. So that's what early this week looks like.
Good stuff. Looking forward to it. One of my favorite events. It's a great place to watch golf. It's a great place to watch people.
Oh, the people watching is fantastic.
And we appreciate it.
Not everybody is here to watch golf. I did learn that quickly.
Yes, yep. That's true. And you know what? That's to each their own. It's a great event, one of Charlotte's signature events, and Gary Soba is the tournament director, has been for several years, and kind enough to join us this morning on day number one. Thank you, Gary.
You all the best. Appreciate it.
Talk to you soon. 9:42 on WBT. Bo Thompson along with Beth Troutman this morning.